He said that Ravana stole Lakshmi, stole Sita, and Ram, of course, killed Ravana and got Sita back, but he was helped by Hanuman. So he said that our business is to help Lord Ram, or to get Sita from the hands of Ravana, meaning the materialistic men. Not to say that everybody in the world is Ravana, but maybe they're Ravana-like in some of their activities.
Followers.
We have to call a spade is an English expression. We have to say it as it is. So the fact is that people are using Krishna's resources, Krishna's money, for their sense gratification. So our duty was to go out and bring Lakshmi back and Sita back and put her in the service of Ram. So many of us, that was our first service, was distributing mantra cards, inviting people to the temple, asking for donations, making the temple. We had very small temples, very sparse, oftentimes just, I remember in Vancouver, we had a warehouse. On top of the warehouse, there was a kind of room or whatever, a few rooms, but you know, a warehouse in an industrial area. Somehow we converted it into a temple, and putting the deity of Jagannath there. He wasn't installed, but he was there and he was beautiful, and it was a simple altar and some incense and some photos, and voila, a temple. Let there be a temple. So then we got some books in 69. We had the Bhagavad Gita by Macmillan. It was a small, abridged, small edition. But it was a famous book, blue cover, introduction by Thomas Merton. I think Allen Ginsberg was in there. Allen Ginsberg was a shaggy, well, he was a great soul, but apart from that, he had a huge head of hair, and he was a poet, but he mixed with the lowest of the low, as Prabhupada would say. One time Prabhupada was in San Francisco, and he was in the small temple, he was preaching, and somebody stood up at the back of the temple and started screaming that I'm God, and this was not an uncommon happenstance in our temples. People, drug-induced, crazy hippies, they would think they were God, and they would come to the temple, they liked the food. They really liked that Hare Krishna food. So one man stood up and started, a boy stood up and started screaming that he was God. Probably just let him scream for a little while, and he said, the lowest of the low. That's where we were. We had fallen that far. So anyway, this book came out with an introduction by one of the gurus of the lowest of the low, Allen Ginsberg. And Thomas Merton was a very highly respected Catholic scholar. Actually, he was a Jesuit monk. He was actually a monk. And he wrote about the Bhagavad Gita very nicely and praised Prabhupada. Of course, they're all more or less Mayavadis, but so we were distributing that for a while, and we had Back to Godheads, but they were in mimeograph form. Means they weren't colorful like they are today at all. They were wonderful, and I can remember each new issue that came out, you know, I was thinking, this philosophy is so wonderful, and wow, we got this new issue of BTG. Now people will really take to Krishna consciousness. But they didn't. We sold our magazines, or took donations and gave the magazines away, but a few people would join. And then, 1970, in San Francisco, you heard the stories, the first Krishna books came out. And that was like just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Beautiful golden covered book, golden jacket on the book, huh? Silver, I'm sorry, not golden, silver. I'm seeing silver in my mind and saying golden. My brains are a little scrambled. Beautiful silver, nice finish, printed at one of the best printers in the world, practically, at that time, Dai Nippon. And so, and it had this beautiful, beautiful painting of Radha and Krishna with red and... what was that painting by? Was it Jadarani's painting? Or yeah, beautiful painting. There were two volumes, I believe. And so we got those books, and it was ecstatic. And that was just about that time we heard that the Srimad Bhagavatam was coming out, but Prabhupada was also going to India, and he wanted devotees to go. And all up and down the west coast of the USA and the east coast of the USA, devotees were being picked from every temple to be on that first group to go. And I was also one of the persons who was supposed to go, and I was in charge of organizing that group of devotees, getting their passports and visas and everything together. But I was so much enjoying distributing books that I decided I wouldn't go. Anyway, I was distributing books for a couple of years in North America, and I, you know, what can I say? I have a little bit of the gift of the gab. Good old Irish expression. Anyway, I was a good bookseller. I was the first one to distribute 400 B2Gs in a day. This was at a festival in Reno, I believe. It's one of these big fairs where they have all kinds of rides and everything, and you stand outside and hit up. That was the expression. We hit up everybody that went in. So it was so funny. It was really funny. I was so ecstatic after that day of doing two full boxes of BTGs, 400 BTGs, that I thought I should have a little reward. So I was really thirsty. And so they had this juice that they were selling there called Orange Julius. So I thought, all right, I'm going to have an Orange Julius. Generally, devotees didn't buy anything outside, you know, it was just taboo. we had the fear of hell in us, that if you, you know, had anything outside of Krishna Prasadam in the temple, you were, you know, you were doomed. I remember once I opened the first temple in Salt Lake City with Jagat Guru and Narad Muni and a few other devotees, and something happened, and I was hitchhiking back to LA, and I went into a gas station. I was hitchhiking. It was a long way from Salt Lake City back to LA. So I went into a gas station and I had a 7-Up. And then after drinking, I felt so guilty. I thought, oh my God, I've broken the regulative principles or something. So anyway, I had this Orange Julius, and you know, my thirst was quenched. I was feeling so good. And then I found out they had egg powder. So after doing wonderful service, I ate some eggs. And I pray, Krishna, forgive me. Maybe that's why I'm suffering now, all my sins. Anyway, Buddhimanta, I would later, right after that, I had a party, a bus, a van. We had a big van, a Ford double cab. They had double cabin. You see, Mahindra has some of these. You know, they have the front seat, and then they have the back seat in the cabin, and then in the back part, there's a pickup. It's open. You can carry anything in it. So we had, like, a big one, a Ford, you know. And we had a camper in the back. And there was me, Yogeshchandra, Buddhimanta, Viala, Sharma, somebody else, Vyasa Tirtha. It was a big party. We were the big book distributors. Anyway, ultimately, Buddhimanta and I emerged as two very big book distributors. So we were sent to London to train the devotees up in book distribution there. Actually, Shyam Sundar was the president, I believe, at Bhaktivedanta Manor at that time. You remember that? Oh, Berry Place. Okay, but you, I remember you were in charge somewhere. You were the GBC or something like that. Because what happened was we went there and we were training devotees up. In those days, it was like, this is how you distribute books. In San Francisco, we were trained up by Keshava that every devotee, brahmachari, we had 35 brahmacharis and one or two demure, you know, brahmacharinis who stayed in the background. The energy was so intense. And they're all gung-ho book distributors. But every day, every morning, we'd have a huge plate of sweet rice. You know, sugar and milk and rice. And the idea was you eat as much sweet rice as you can, and you get all fired up, and then you go out in the streets and distribute books. You know, it was like a shot of adrenaline of sugar. So anyway, we were in London and we used to eat big amounts of double clotted cream. Devon, whatever, we'd go to distribute books, and we were training to raise up. And we were making good collections, but there was some debate about where our personal collection should go. We were ordered to send them back to San Francisco, but the UK management wanted that it should stay in the UK. And so then our party broke up, and so I was already halfway to India, and I thought I should have gone before, and so I thought, all right, I'm going. So Keshava came through and took Buddhimanta with him separately, and so I was on my own, and I came to India in 1972, in the fall. And at first I came to Vrindavan, just after I heard Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, I went there, and he just left for Hyderabad. Missed him. So I... the Nectar of Devotion class, I missed that. But I met Gurudas and Jamuna. They were there in charge. And so I stayed there for a month, and we did some preaching there. And it's very nice, Vrindavan, you know. It's a funny thing, really funny thing. I came directly from Palam Airport, and usually Westerners, when they first come to India, it's a real culture shock. I remember one devotee, his name was Ruchi Sevana. No, Ruchi Das. He came from America and he got off the plane in Bombay, and the odor and smell was so bad. He said, oh God, what is that smell? And he got back on the plane and went back to America same day. Huh? Yeah. Another one in Calcutta, Florida, and there's one here in Bombay too. And so it was, devotees usually had a culture shock, but When I came to Palam Airport, I went right from the airport to Vrindavan, got in a taxi, and as I was going to Vrindavan, it was almost deja vu. I was saying, this is nice. I felt like I'd been there before. I honestly had that feeling. It was just something wonderful. So then I went off to Calcutta. I was sent to Calcutta. And I ended up in Mayapur. I was in Mayapur for a number of months. We lived in a hut, a grass hut, in Mayapur. And Prabhupada came there, and he lived in the grass hut with us. It's not a big hut, so he had half, and we had the other half. And those were wonderful days. And then Goswami Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Goswami, he organized a traveling Sankirtan party. We had three jeeps and with trailers. And there was Achyutananda. At that time, Achyutananda Swami, Bhargamuni, Tamal Krishna, Hari Kesha, Gopal Swami, and myself, and Shubha Vilas, and a few other brahmacharis, one boy from Mayapur, Mahendra, very nice boy, wonderful mandanga player. So we took off on a tour of India that was organized by Mr. H.P. Singhi, who was Mr. Birla's right-hand man, and we went to a number of factories and did programs, and we ended up in Bhopal. So from there, we heard about the problem in Bombay. This was like early 1973. And so Tamal ordered us all to head for Bombay, and we drove across land, came to Bombay. And from that time, 73, up to now, I guess, more or less, except for I was a year in Hyderabad, or no, 6 months in Hyderabad, and 6 months as the president in Calcutta, I've been here at Hare Krishna Land. I guess I'm in some ways the last of the Mohicans. And I was here during that period of construction and the great fight Prabhupada called Bombay, Judy called New Kurukshetra, because it was a great battle here. And certain things stand out in my mind just now. I hadn't really thought of speaking now, but His Holiness Lokanath Swami, who's now coming, I'll vacate soon for him. But few things come to mind. One was how Prabhupada, he spent a lot of time at Hare Krishna Land and in Bombay. As I said before, he spent more time in Bombay than any other temple in the world, more or less. And in fact, one time he spent 4 months in a row finishing the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He would go out to Ahmedabad, but he'd always come back to Bombay. His base was here. And of course, all the tenants here were South Indians, mostly from Kerala, and Prabhupada got a lot of idlis and sambar. He had a relationship with everybody, as you heard. But I lived in the hut. We were in the hut. The hut is kind of like a word, you know, did you live in the hut? That description of sweeping, you know, the more you swept, the more the cement would come up. It was really like that. And it was a kind of the cement floor, and then there were like half walls and cement, and the rest was chatai. The whole thing was chatai. And there was a court injunction because of the fight with Mr. N? Nobody knows who Mr. N is, right? A little polite, Mr. Nair. A number of monsoons passed, and it was in bad condition from the first day. We had a tendency to get cheated. People thought we were all big, rich Americans, and they didn't know I was a rich Canadian. And but they thought we had money, and even if we didn't, business is business. So, and I thought when I came to India that everybody was going to be like Prabhupada. They're all Indians, they're all like Prabhupada, you know, pure devotees. I found out quite soon they weren't. A billion, and you know, there's variety, right? It's the spice of Indian life. A lot of spice. So, we got well cheated. Prabhupada called us damn cheap babus. Because, you know, if someone was selling something for 50 rupees, and it actually cost 5 rupees, but we would calculate in dollars, you know, $5. Oh, that's damn cheap. It actually cost 5 rupees, but, you know, we got cheated. So we got cheated on the hub. And it only got worse. And I'm sure some of you have seen it, Hare Krishna. If you come here in the early morning, you'll see running around, they were there at that time, I recognized some of them, my old friends, these rats that are bigger than cats. The cats run from the rats. They're big. And they're, you know, we're sitting on this pandal, who knows the holes and tunnels that are right underneath us now, all the rats. And today, of course, there's so much prasadam everywhere, and what do rats like? Prasadam. They love prasadam, whether it's offered or not. I lived in, we had common bathrooms for the men and the women. And on occasion, you know, a man would walk into the bathroom and there was a woman bathing. You know, there were all kinds of crap. People were sick. I think I was one of the only ones. Of course, Brahmananda Gargamuni may have been in the crowd too, but most devotees came from the West quite healthy and went back, you know, with every disease under the sun, tropical disease, because the closer you are to the equator, the shorter your duration of life is, actually. It's to do with the heat, the flora and fauna, the atmosphere. So most devotees come here and they go back very skinny. Well, I came very skinny, and I'm still skinny, right? relative, yeah. I got some relatives that look like me too. But it was, they were hard days, but they were so beautiful. And what I remember is we took such poor care of Prabhupada, it just makes me cry. We made so many mistakes. One time, I remember Prabhupada was staying at the dog man's house, this big mill owner, Sri Krishna Kapoor. He had this big car and he took Prabhupada with each other. And the dog sat right beside Prabhupada in the back seat, a big black German Shepherd dog. And, oh my God. And Mr. Kapoor thought it was completely okay. I don't know why. He used to walk on the beach with his dog and he would strut down with his chest out and his dog would be on a leash strutting down the beach with his chest out. Prabhupada said, just see, they're the same. Prabhupada came to stay there. He had a guest house, which was not a guest house, it was a guest bungalow. And Prabhupada, we didn't have good accommodation for him here, so he was going to... He never liked to stay at other... He always liked to stay at the temple. Nowadays, preachers and sannyasis, etc., they go to temples and they stay outside with disciples, okay, or whatever, but it's rare to find big leaders who stay at the temple. Sorry to say. But Prabhupada always liked to stay at the temple with his devotees. And when it was impossible, then he would stay with a member or something. So I remember he came and there was miscommunication. Hiraswami was our fearless leader. And somehow or other, between Prabhupada's secretary and him, the time of arrival, they went off to greet Prabhupada at the airport, but they missed him. And Prabhupada, I was at Sri Krishna Kapoor's guest house fixing the place up, and you know, I had a few helpers, and we were madly trying to put things together. And all of a sudden, Prabhupada shows up in a taxi with a servant. And Prabhupada came into the room and nothing was ready, and I saw Prabhupada and my heart went from my chest down into my feet. I just felt, oh no, and I fell down on the floor and I let my spiritual master down again. And Prabhupada just tolerated it. All our mistakes. It was so wonderful. So wonderful. And he was always encouraging devotees, as someone said, you know, he knew everybody by first name. And he always had a good word or a strong word for everybody. I remember once we were going for a walk on Juhu Beach and one devotee, M, is no longer with us, but Gujarati Manaswi. He had a lungi on, you know, Gujarat, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, he was a householder, and he had a lungi on. And Prabhupada stopped, and for about a minute, at least, he chastised him. This is not proper dress. You wear dhoti. But he never felt, although he would chastise devotees, the most dedicated devotees he seemed to chastise the most. And those who couldn't take, like me, you know, he was very gentle with me because he knew I was fragile, like peanut brittle or something, you know, crack. I remember once he chastised me up here in this, these were his quarters where it's now the BBT. And something I'd done, I think I beat up Yasumati Nandan or something. he said, Sridhar, he said, you work very hard. He said, but sometimes you cause misunderstanding. Oh, I'm sorry, Prabhupada, again I fell down off my... He didn't heavy me out because he knew I was just such a wimp. But with Tamal Krishna Goswami, when he canceled the sales agreement here, I've heard about it in other places to some degree, but Prabhupada chastised him so heavily, and he talked about it for days and days afterwards in class. When members would come, he would enter, call Tamal. This is Tamal Krishna Goswami. He canceled the sales agreement. It was the worst thing he could do. You know, just to give you an idea of what we were facing. Mr. N was the sheriff of Bombay. He was also the owner of the Free Press Journal, which has quite a wide circulation. Plus, he was a very influential landowner and construction person or whatever. He had a lot of money and friends. And there was a court case, and we hired a top solicitor, Mullah and Mullah. I think they were mullahs. I don't know. Actually, they weren't, but I mean, the name sounds so opportune, mullah and mullah. But anyway, Tamal took full shelter of them, and they advised him to cancel the sales agreement. This is ridiculous. It's a nonsense case. Mr. Nair, you should give it. You cancel the sales agreement. It's the absolute number one worst thing you could do.
Bought our mullah.
Mr. Nair bought the mullahs, mullah and mullah. And anyway, what to do? But because Goswami Maharaj was so dedicated to Prabhupada and strong in his own right, Prabhupada would chastise him. But he never felt that he did anything out of vindictiveness or loss of control of his senses. He did it out of love, and he always felt that. He used to call me, I would come after making life members, preaching. I was life membership director in charge. And he would joke, "Oh, here comes Sridhar Swami." I was a brahmachari. Yeah, on a few occasions. Huh? No, before that. Before I was a brahmachari, he would call me Sridhar Swami. That's why I wanted to take something else.
You could see the future.
Yeah, I could see the future. Brahmananda couldn't. He tried to stop me and say yes. But anyway, I'm gonna stop by a little story here. When I actually did take sannyas, actually I blackmailed Gopal Krishna Maharaj. I said I was a brahmachari and I wanted to preach. You know, I wanted to get in front of audiences and tell jokes, like I do now. But I was a brahmachari. I was nobody. I was overshadowed by so many big people. So I said, I got to take sannyas. You know, then I'll be a stabber. I'll have the upadhi, right? So I told Gopal, he wanted to keep me here. You know, under my thumb. He wanted to keep me here. He was reticent to approach Prabhupada or ask him. So I said, "Well, all right, I'm leaving anyway." So Gopal Krishna Maharaj went to Prabhupada and said, "Sridhar Swami wants to leave. He wants to take sannyas." And then I don't know what went on in the room there. Huh? No, but you told me you were... He was against it. Yeah, I had a lot of strikes against me. The GBC was against me. The senior devotee in the whole movement was against me. The Prabhupada said, "That's all right, you can take some, yeah." He was very kind. And so I went up there, and I went up to Prabhupada's room, and he said, "So, you'll take in Mayapur? You come to Mayapur, take sannyas?" I don't know what inspired me. I was never so bold with Prabhupada. Most people can't believe this. And you also can't, and many of you know me, but I'm very shy. I don't know. But I couldn't speak to Prabhupada. I would just get tongue-tied. Even at my initiation, Prabhupada spoke to me. He said, "So, you are brahmachari?" And I was so shocked. I just offered my basins. I couldn't even answer. I was very shy. But somehow or other, I got the chutzpah. I got the, it's a good old Jewish expression. I don't know if I said it right. Chutzpah. I quoted a Sanskrit verb, not Sanskrit verb, Sanskrit idiom, or a Sanskrit slogan. when Ravana was dying, Ram sent Lakshman to take advice because Ravana was a Brahmin. And to get advice from a dying Brahmin is very good. So Ravana told Lakshman, I was building a staircase to heaven and I thought I'll wait for some time, an auspicious day, get some ministers together, you know, have a big function. I won't finish it now. He said, but I became lusty after Sita and I didn't think twice about it. I just did it immediately. He said, so my advice to you is if there's a bad thing, then postpone it. But there's a good thing, then Shubhashya Shikram. So I said to Prabhupada, Shubhashya Shikram. I said, all right, come to Vrindavan. 10 days, you can take sannyas. We used to use this with like members, see, because they would always say, well, Swamiji, they would call everybody Swamiji, and they'd say, well, Swamiji, you know, let me think about it. I gotta speak to my brother and my brother's brother. And so we would say, Shubhashya Shikram, and he would tell us, you gotta do it immediately. You never can tell. And, anyway, at that time, then my good friend and most wonderful development at that time, and we've already heard from Gandiva, the first lady to join Srila Prabhupada's mission here at Hare Krishna. Well, the first brahmachari was, the first young man was a young college student, Maharashtrian from Sangli district. And so he heard also that I was taking sannyas. But, hey, I want to take sannyas too. So we both went to Vrindavan. And now we have His Holiness Lokanath Swami. He has lots of stories to tell us about that. Ikaraya. I know some mantras for selling Bhagavad Gita, you know. Yanakya, Bhaga, Ikaraya, Bhaga.